I'll, for the sake of recording, I'll welcome everybody to the Carolina Bible Group Bible Study Voice Room and welcome you once again to the presence of the saints here. I love to see this list. I love looking down at the names because most of you I know by face, a few I do not. But hopefully even one of these days that'll change, and that'd be my prayer. Today we're going to keep going in our study series that we've entitled Things Most Surely Believe. The date for today is 5/3/20, and this will be study number 26, if you're keeping up. And hopefully, if you haven't heard the first few of this, Chip says he's almost got the website caught up, and that really doesn't surprise me because he's really good at doing what he does when he has time. And he's like me, he's a little overworked for the most part, but I do appreciate Chip and what he does and keeping all these recordings up. You can download the recordings at carolinabiblegroup.com and catch up on all these studies if you would like. But we'll be moving forward this morning in our series, as I said, and our purpose in all this is to differentiate the hope of the kingdom from the present day hope of the church, and I kind of use that word a little loosely there, or the assembly is, I think, a better word. The assembly, the body of Christ, using the principles of right division to guide us. And in all your study, regardless of what you're studying, using the principles of right division is more what I push than a doctrine. You know, if you were to, you know, I love to talk scripture. If somebody wants to call, and we have this happen occasionally with TFT, somebody will call and we'll eventually, you know, whether they order books or just ask questions or whatever, we'll eventually get around to a little bit of a doctrinal discussion. And that's what I always tell them. I tell them it's not important that you agree with me. I'm not here speaking so that I can have a throng of people come and say, well, Ronnie, man, that was great. I agree with you 100%. That's not what I'm looking for. What I'm looking for is to say the things that the Holy Spirit could use to prick your curiosity, to prick your mind, and to prick your heart into wanting to know more about our Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. Your answers are not with Ronnie McCurry. Your answers are in the Scripture. The words of life that we have at our disposal, that's where our answers are. And I wanted to make that clear as I began this morning, what our intention is. Our intention is to rouse the curiosity of your mind where you will study to show yourself approved as workmen that needeth not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Remember that is a scriptural precept that's set down in the words that we call truth for today. Last Sunday, we covered several, in this study we've been going through, as I said, and we've been comparing the things of the kingdom, the things of the kingdom that was offered to the nation of Israel when the Lord was on the earth in the flesh. And then again, after he was crucified, that same message of the kingdom was preached, not by the Lord, but by them that heard him. And these that heard him were given special powers to do special things on the earth because the Jews required a sign. They had the power to raise the dead. They had the power to speak in other languages. They had the power to heal and the power to cast out demons, which obviously was very prevalent in that day. And those are some of the things of the kingdom. And what we've been doing in this study series is comparing the things of the kingdom to the things of the church, because as you've heard me say, when you get to the end of the book of Acts, when you get to the 28th chapter and the 28th verse, I believe the Apostle Paul announces through the leadership of the Holy Spirit that the clock was literally unplugged for the kingdom and for the nation of Israel at that time. They were in so many words, set aside so that now we live in a dispensation, a different dispensation, where literally the clock for Israel is unplugged until God has revealed the church, the body of Christ, and I believe that this present age, man's day, will end with the day of Christ, when the church, the body of Christ, that I believe is literally sort of being harvested from among believers today. The true church, the body of Christ, will appear with Christ in, as Jack would say, the upon heavens. And that will, that is my hope today. That's my hope in Christ. I'm not going to walk on any streets of gold. I'm not going to have any claim, part or parcel to that city that will come down from God out of heaven and guess what? Be right back on the earth. That is not Ronnie McCurry's hope today. And I hope everybody understands that going in. You may hear some things during these studies that you've never heard before. I don't say it to be arrogant. I don't say it to be irritable. I don't say it out of malice. I say it because I believe it to be the truth. And it's like I say, I'm willing to discuss this with anybody at any time, pretty much. We have to be ready instant, in season and out of season, as Paul says. And that literally means when it's convenient or inconvenient. And be ready to discuss God's Word. So picking up with our study last week, we covered several of the things concerning the hope of the assembly, the body of Christ, that we do know. We covered five things that we do know that the Apostle Paul has revealed to us through the Word, the last seven books, the post-Acts epistles. That's where we glean the message and the attributes and the facts concerning what God is doing with us today as the church, the body of Christ, as opposed to what he did with the Israelites and the grafted in Gentiles during the Acts period, during the book of Acts. And that's kind of the whole thing in a nutshell of what we're looking at. But when you get right down to it and you begin to read these post-Acts epistles of Paul, that's Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians, Titus, Philemon, 1st and 2nd Timothy. Those are your seven books that if you're looking for truth for today, literally truth that is written to you as members of his body, that's where you need to look. Now, I am not saying that all scripture is not given by inspiration, because Paul makes that clear in these seven books that, hey, y'all need to be reading the entire scripture. But when you do that, if you're honest with yourself, you will very quickly realize how Jewish a book the Bible really is, because it covers their founding fathers. It covers their law. It covers their temple, the building of it. It covers their history, their Exodus. It covers their kings. It covers the period of their judges. It covers the split between the tribes. It covers all these things concerning Israel. It's a very Jewish book until you get to these last seven books of Paul. And then when you get to Ephesians 3, he even says, I, Paul, the minister of Jesus Christ, for you Gentiles. And that's a stark difference from where this book begins and for the most part of it, how this book is written. As we reiterated last week, if you look at chapters as a measuring, as a unit of measure in the scripture, a chapter that I know were added by men. But if you look at chapters as a unit of measure and you want to know how much of that scripture is written to you personally, not for you, but to you, 2.35%. We mentioned last week that that's a total of, 28 chapters. 621 verses are written to you for today. Now that's something to think on when you get to thinking about these things. So in doing all this and going through these things that Paul has written, there are things about our hope that we know. There are things that are revealed, this mysterion, the mystery, the great secret that was hid from ages and generations has now been revealed to the Apostle Paul over 2,000 years ago. Everything, now listen to this, everything we're going to glean out of the scripture about that mystery is contained in those 28 chapters. Only 28 chapters of scripture. That's where you're going to find it. Did I say 621 verses? 28 chapters, 621 verses. That's where you're going to find everything that we're promised with our hope. There are things we know. There are things that Paul has made very clear, and we went over them in great detail over the last couple of weeks, I thought. Today, and the converse of that, is that there are some things that I want to know that we do not know, or that I will preempt this by saying there are things that Ronnie doesn't know about our hope. As glorious as it is, as wonderful as it is, there are still things about our hope, and I have to admit, that I don't know because I don't believe they've been revealed. You know, a lot of times when I'm by myself or driving down the road or doing something that's kind of mundane, my mind will begin to drift. And I'll ask myself, you know, I wonder what this is going to be like. And if we're all honest with each other and honest with ourselves, our faith requires us to inquire of our God. There are things that we all want to know about the scripture. There is me. And there are things, even more importantly, that I would love to know about my hope and what God has laid up for me. What are the attributes of my hope? Now, as I said, we went over a few things that has been revealed last week, but I want to go over some of my things personally that I don't think have been revealed to us. And maybe you will agree, maybe you will not. If any of you hear me say something that I don't know and you have the answer, you have my permission to email me or call me at any point, because if I can move something from the I don't know side of the list to the I do know side of the list, then that's a good day for me. That's a really good day. So let's go over a few things that I've kind of pinpointed. I got four of them. My study in the scripture that I don't know. Again, these are things that I do not know concerning our hope. Number one, I do not know exactly what I will be doing as part of his body when our manifestation takes place, although I do have some speculation. And the reason I have speculation is because the scripture prophetically is pretty clear about what Christ will be doing. And if I'm going to be part of the body of Christ, then you can draw your own conclusions from that. And that's what I'm saying, is that I can't find in the post-Acts epistles, and that's why I preempt it this way. I can't find in the post-Acts epistles exactly what it is we will be doing. And that's one of those questions I have. And I'll read it again. I do not know exactly what I will be doing as part of his body, although I do have some speculation. I have a feeling that whatever the head is doing, the body is not going to be very far behind. And that's just speculatory on Ronnie's part, and I want to make sure everybody understands that. It stands to reason with me, though, if God uses the picture, if he uses the type, if he uses the simile of a human body as the relationship of the body of Christ to the head of Christ, then it stands to reason to me that if the head goes and does, then the body is going to be moving right along with it.
It may not even go to do
it. It may not be a go. Exactly. It may just be
a thought.
Another thing that we don't know. We don't know how things will be accomplished. You know, the book of Revelation lays out a lot of physical things that are going to take place in this created universe with regard to judgment. I mean, it's very, very profound. Gigantic hailstones from heaven, for instance. A consuming fire that comes and just consumes everything in its path. The plagues that come out of the vials that the seven angels come and open. I mean, there are a lot of very really well-described tragedies that happen to this planet in judgment, in God's judgment. And Christ, guess what? Christ is the ultimate judge. All judgment, in John it says, all judgment is committed to the Son. The Son will be in charge of doing the judging. And these prophetic events in the book of Revelation have already been laid out. They will happen. There is coming a day when the events in the book of Revelation will physically take place on the planet Earth where you're living right now. In my mind, there's no doubt about it. If you believe this book, you have to believe that. I'm just saying, it's pretty clearly laid out. I don't know of imagery that you would use that you would make this stand for something else in that regard. Because John's there and the angel says, hey, have you seen these things that are going to take place? And John said, no, I don't know, thou knowest. And he said, well, come and let me show you. And he'll take John in the spirit and show him things that have yet to come to pass. And they're all related and controlled by the Lord Christ Jesus, of whom we will be the body, if I'm understanding the scripture correctly. So I want you to think about that. Think about, I'm not saying that we'll be part in that, because it's like Dad said, I don't know how things will be accomplished. Because we're talking about realms and existences and dimensions that I don't think we can get our little brains around right now, to be honest with you. I don't understand very much about the spiritual realm. I just don't. What little I understand about it has come from Scripture, because there's a lot of speculatory books out there, but nobody has been and come back that can tell you about it. Except one. And he's at the right hand of the Father in the heavenlies. And he's told us everything that he's going to tell us until these things begin to come to pass. So think about that. Number one, I don't know exactly what I'll be doing. As you heard, I've got a little speculation. But I can't tell you to go to 1 Timothy chapter whatever and read verse whatever and say, there's what I'm going to be doing. I can't do it. I have a kind of a collective look at that particular aspect by the other scriptures that I understand and the order by which I believe God is going to restore creation. Christ is not complete in the heavenlies right now. And I say that because as members of his body, we have not been manifested with him yet, at least in the physical realm of this dimension. Now, I know Paul talks about events and things that take place as if we're dead and our life is hid with Christ and God, and I'm sure it is. But in the physical reality that I live in and exist in right now, I wake up here on the planet Earth every morning with a new ache or a new pain. And I woke up Friday and where the white is in my left eye is now red. I don't know what the deal is, Doctor says I have a burst blood vessel or something in my eye. He said, don't worry about it. He said, it'll eventually clear up, but I look like a zombie. So it's a, you know, in this life, on this planet, it's a new ailment just about every day. In this wonderful, beautiful, blessed life of pain that we got, it's the only way I know how to say it, is it's a wonderful hurt to be here and to be hurting in this life. But I know there is a life coming where I will physically be a part of it in the heavenlies as part of the body of my Lord and Savior Christ Jesus. But I haven't got there yet, or I wouldn't be sitting here talking with you today. And that's just how I look at it. I believe God has given us this reality so that we will know where we are. We have things to do. We have a walk that was foreordained that we should walk in it. And we have things to accomplish here that we sometimes don't even know what they are until they arrive to our doorstep.
Yeah.
You don't even know what it is till it gets there. And exactly, Doherty, that's why it's called a mystery. And a lot of aspects of it still are very mysterious to me. And that's what we're going over. So number one, I don't know what I'll be doing as part of his body. But as you heard, I do have a couple ideas. Number two, I do not know exactly what the heavenly places or the upon heavens, as Jack Eberly calls it, as it's translated in the scripture. I don't know exactly what the heavenly places will look like, if and assuming we even see like we do now. When I get whatever resurrection body I'm going to have, I don't know if I will see like I do now, or if Christ will be doing all the seeing for me. I don't know. I don't know what kind of view I'm going to have. I don't know what the upon heavens actually look like, if they have a physical existence at all. It's totally spiritual. It may be a completely spiritual realm. I may see through spiritual eyes. I don't know. That's another thing I've often, well, what is it? Because when I open my eyes every morning in this life, you know, I know what I can see. But when I open my eyes in the next life, if I have eyes, you see my point. There is so little that I know about what's coming up as far as that realm goes, that a lot of it is just purely speculatory. I don't really know.
Well, you know, O'Harrell of the Statler brothers, they put him, he was in bad shape in the hospital, and they put him to sleep, and he slept 3 or 4 days, and he woke up. Well, you know, they talk like death is like sleep to a believer.
Right.
And he woke up, and he looked around in his hospital room, and he says, am I still here?
Really?
That's what he said.
That's what he said.
Am I still here?
Yeah.
He was expecting.
In
his way of thinking, he was expecting to be
wake up, there, yeah, wherever his hope wherever, was. Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, I think you got that pretty well clear.
Because think about it, when you close your eyes and sleep at night, and this is what, you know, if you travel, you sleep in a strange bed. How many of you have ever slept in a motel room or spent the night with friends or something, and you wake up in a strange place, and you open your eyes, and for just a minute, you get this, where am I feeling? Yeah. Like I don't have a clue where I'm at. Where am I? And you have to start rewinding your memory to, oh yeah, we were here, and I'm with so and so, or I'm in this motel room here.
Well, sometimes your dreams make that a reality kind of a thing.
Right. Yeah.
And if you're dreaming about something and you're in a strange place, then you've got to, your mind's got to compensate all that back together.
Right. And I've actually woke up being thankful that I was where I was instead of where I was dreaming that I was.
I agree with that.
I mean, sometimes those are not so fun. So the number two thing that I don't know is exactly what the upon heavens will look like if that's assuming that we even see the way we see today. When I appear as part of his body, I don't know what senses that I will be given if I even exist as an individual, which I happen to believe I will. But I don't know that for dead sure. I'm still searching. So that's the number two thing that I have to say, that as I think about my hope, I really don't know. I can't say for sure. I don't know what the heavenly places will look like. No idea.
Well, he went with his blood and his body, and he could do that because he had no sin. But he had our sins.
Right.
He took care of that. But while he was there, scripture says somewhere, and I read something about that, that he went into the sides of the north, which is kind of like a
focal point.
In my mind, it's a place designated for the in charge power that's going to be there,
right?
And that was kind of the way that when they laid Israel out in a camp, you had the sides of the north, the west, the south.
Yeah, it was a pattern. It was made after the patterns of the things in the heavens.
Pattern. Yeah. Okay. Well, and I don't know who got to stay in the sides of the north, but it's pretty evident that it was those that were in charge of the group.
And I know the anointed cherub was kicked out of there.
Yeah.
At some point.
And he's never got to go back there because that's what he wanted to do.
Right.
Was to put his throne in the side.
I will be like the Most High, he says. Yeah.
So that was his deal. In my mind, that caused all this commotion that we're in the world today. It's a situation that he wanted to take the place of the Son of God, and with all the thrills and the triumphs that goes with it, that we don't know what it is.
Right. But. Yeah, and Lloyd posted that scripture. Actually, it's Isaiah 14.
Okay.
Yeah, I will sit in the sides of the north. Upon the mount of the congregation, he says. So it's whoever the congregation is. Yeah,
I found this out. The hope that God gives to man is something that he can for all men that he's ever made promises to. That it's something that man could.
Grasp, understand.
So that's something I think that we just have a
glimpse of.
Got enough ideas to make a determination as to exactly
right. What. Maybe not all the facts, but a few of the facts.
Well, you've got all he wanted you to have.
Exactly. That's going to be actually one of my final points for this study. Number three. Will we remember and recognize each other from our lives here on earth? I don't know that. I think there's a possibility. But again, if I had to go to Ephesians whatever, verse whatever, and say there's your proof verse for that, I can't do it. I cannot, as far as this aspect of it goes. Now, I do not know if I will remember and recognize, I do not know if we will remember and recognize each other from our lives here on earth. Now, I have and I'm going to go out on a limb and say this. I believe because there is the mystery of the husband and the wife. I believe that there's a possibility that the mystery that is spoken of in Ephesians 5. Paul kind of gets to comparing Christ in the church to a husband and a wife. And at some point he almost catches himself and says, well, that's another mystery. I don't know if you ever read that or not, but it was very intriguing to me when I read it. And I'm not sure that a husband and a wife that understand this truth are not manifested together in the heavenly places. I'll let you study that out and be your own judge about that. I was very hesitant to even say that. That's one of those personal things that Ronnie's been kind of looking at in the background. But I'll just throw that little tidbit out there to give you something to really go and dig into. What is Paul talking about in Ephesians 5 with this relationship between the husband and the wife within this hope? Just think about it. Something to think about. But back to the subject. That's number three thing that I don't know. I don't know if we will remember or recognize each other from our lives here on earth. Will we have memories of what took place here? Will I be able to look at, say, Dad when we're there and say, hey, Pop, good to see you again. Isn't this something? I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. And like I say, any of you that have some of these answers, I am all ears. I am absolutely all ears to talk about it. Because like I said, if I can move something from the unknown side of the ledger to the known side of the ledger, then I'm a happy camper. Way more happy than I was before. Because that's what this is all about, right? Coming to the growing in the grace and knowledge of the Son of God. I see that, students, and I believe there is, but I'm not sure where that occurs, if it's in the kingdom dispensation or in this one. That's all I'm saying. I can't, and you could be exactly right. I can't remember. And then the number four, and this is a big one. Number four, what will our bodies actually, I do not know what our bodies will actually consist of there. The bodies that we will have. I know that we will be manifested as part of His body, but within His body, do we have our own bodies? And if we do have our own bodies, and they are jointly part of His body, then what does our body consist of? Bodies down through the history of Scripture. You remember one of the things that Satan and some of the minions had the power to do was to transform their spiritual body into a fleshly body that could mate with the daughters of men. So they had a body and when they left their first estate, as Jude says, and took on this other form in order to do their will instead of God's will, God was extremely unhappy about that. That was Satan's first attempt to cut off the bloodline that had been promised in Genesis 3. I believe they thought if they could taint the entire line of mankind with their blood, that they could cut off this one that was going to crush the head of the serpent.
Either that or overcome the power
the plan of God.
Of God.
Yeah, exactly.
In the form of physicality. If he made man a physical specimen, if he was going to be, which he had to, because man's still studying what man's made out of, what he's made out of.
Building blocks of man.
And, but the thing is, see, those people were huge.
Yeah. And because of the...
Because of their size and so on, it was very hard to overcome them without the power of God. It would almost be impossible without the power of God to do it. So that was, I think, about the closest thing that Satan could do through them and with them
to thwart the plan. But then God messed up their plan with a little thing called the flood.
Yeah.
And killed them all. All the offspring were killed. Except the eight that rode the boat.
With the offspring.
Yeah.
But.
Or contained as far as the spirit being good.
The spirit world, if they're still here, the ones that did that, if they're still here, they're in some kind of containment thing because, that's part of, I think that's part of Revelations too, because this was part
of... A lot of that's going to be released. To be
part
out.
Of the the contamination of the world, you know, was brought to another level because of this and because of people thought that they were gods too.
Right.
That these huge beings were, man, we can't do nothing with them. They got to be.
Right, just like Goliath.
They got to be from somewhere.
Yeah, just like Goliath. He was very revered to the point where everybody was terrified of him.
Yeah.
This guy's 12, 15 feet tall. I don't want to fight him either. You know, I'm little old David looking at him going, holy cow, I'm going to need.
Five rocks.
Yeah, I'm hoping God's going to help me. Now, concerning this bodies, what will our bodies, or the fact that I don't know what our bodies will actually consist of there in the previous dispensation, and this is one thing I wanted to point out this morning. In the previous dispensation concerning the kingdom, Paul didn't have too many qualms about what the bodies there were going to be. And if you don't believe it, turn with me, 2 Corinthians chapter 5. I want to read you a few verses out of 2 Corinthians 5. The previous dispensation, in the previous dispensation, Paul had a pretty good idea of what was going on with the bodies. Because he wrote about it twice in Corinthians. He wrote about it in 1 Corinthians. Well, actually, he wrote about it several times. But namely, in 1 Corinthians 15 with the resurrections, the spiritual resurrection and the the earthly and the heavenly, actually, as far as the two resurrections. And then he talks about bodies in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So turn with me there. I want to read a few verses just so you'll know and see. Paul says, for we know. Actually, let's roll back to 4:18 because it leads into it. Paul says, while we look not at things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, he said, for the things which are seen are temporal, they're temporary, but the things which are not seen are eternal or age-abiding. They belong to an age.
What we can see.
Yeah, what we can and can't see there, he's laying it out. And then he goes, that's why I wanted to read 4:18, because when you get to 5:1, he says 4. If he says 4, that means he just said something that you don't need to miss. You know, if I say, I'm doing all this, I did all this and did all this, and I did something else, 4. Well, then you need to know both sides of the coin there. He says, for we know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle, that's your body, that's what you're living in. We know that if our earthly house of this tabernacle were dissolved, and let me flip over here to my interlinear. And that dissolve there, let me get back to 2 Corinthians 5. That's kataluo. And it literally means to loosen down. You see, it's got kata on it. It means to break down or to break down into its constituent elements, to destroy, to dissolve. That's what happens to your body when you go to the grave.
You go back to the dust
from which you were made.
Yeah.
That's the fate of man. So he knows if these earthly bodies of this tabernacle are dissolved, listen, we know that if it happens, guess what? We have a building of God and house not made with hands or not manufactured on this planet, eternal where? In the heavens. Whoa! Wait a minute. He was pretty clear to those Corinthians about their bodies, wouldn't he? He laid that right out there.
Yeah,
hey, we know that if you lose the tabernacle you're in, no big deal. God has one eternal in the heavens. It's not a problem.
A new one.
A new one. And it ain't made out of this stuff.
No.
It's a different material, he says. He says, for in this or in this body, guess what? We groan. And boy, the older I get, the more I realize the truth in that scripture. For in this tabernacle, this house, we groan earnestly desiring. Paul says, I'd love to be clothed upon with our house, which is out from heaven. Well, that makes sense. If there's a brand new spiritual body in the heavens, and we're down here with this chunk of clay groaning and moaning and walking around in pain, which one would you rather have? I mean, that's just logic. And that's exactly what Paul says here. And if you're one of those to be absent from the body is to be present with the Lord, you're going to be disappointed here in about 5 minutes if we make it that far. Because that's not what that scripture says. I want you to listen to this scripture as we go along and make sure that you glean what the Apostle Paul is talking about here. He said, in this body we groan, earnestly desiring to be clothed upon, like putting on new clothes, with our house, which is from heaven. Out from, ek. Remember, he's already said you've got one there reserved for you. If you are in this hope. Let's go to verse 3. If so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Gymnos in the Greek. It means nude, absolutely without a stitch on, naked. Totally exposed. If you die during the kingdom hope, that was called going to what was the naked state. Your body that you had was going to rot. The spirit that animated it was going to be with God, not that it had any consciousness or anything of its own, because that would violate scripture as well. But you're kind of in a waiting pattern, waiting for God to do what God is going to do with you. And that's what Paul called the naked state. He said, if so be that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Now, this is the same guy that in Thessalonians has already said, at the day of the Lord, we who are alive and remain will not be going before those that have died in Christ. Paul thought, in his mind, the whole time he was preaching the kingdom, that he would be alive when Christ returned. Because it was scheduled to happen on God's prophetic timetable at AD 85. Now you can go back and do the math on that one from the prophetic scriptures in Daniel. 70 weeks. At AD 85, it was going to happen. And Paul, in his mind, for what little he knew at this point concerning the kingdom, thought that he would be alive and remain, because he literally said that in Thessalonians. We who are alive and remain until the coming of the Lord. And that's why he says here in verse 3, if so that being clothed, we shall not be found naked. Naked is without a body. You mean you can be found naked? You mean I'm not just going to close my eyes in death and immediately go and be with the Lord at that very second? No, that's exactly what that means. Well, let's read on. He said, for we that are in this tabernacle, we that are in this body, do groan, being burdened with sin. Not for that we would be unclothed. We don't want to be dead and without a body, but clothed upon with our new body, that mortality might be swallowed up of life. Mortality? Wait a minute, Paul, are you saying I'm mortal? You mean I'm not going to just die and go right on to heaven? No, you're not. Your mortality, folks, has to be swallowed up in immortality. He makes that clear in 1 Corinthians 15 as well. The victory is in Christ. Immortality comes through resurrection in Christ.
That's my view. That's being born again.
Exactly. That's where you get born again.
Right.
Regardless of what the world has to say about that. Let's read that again. Paul says, we that are in these bodies, in these tabernacles, do groan, being burdened. And then his dad says, full stop. Not for that we would be unclothed or in that naked state that he just mentioned, but clothed upon with a new body, that mortality might be swallowed up. And that word there, swallowed up, if I can find it, it's katapino, which means to drink down or gulp entire, devoured. That your mortality may be just eaten like I ate a steak. If you've ever seen me eat a steak, I devour those things. Love me some steak. Mortality might be swallowed up of life. So guess what your mortality is? That's the death that you carry with you. Death is chasing you every step of your life until it catches you. And guess what? That has to be swallowed up in Zoe, in life. He says, now he, verse 5, he that hath wrought us for the selfsame thing is God, who also hath given unto us the earnest of the Spirit, the promise. We have the promise of the Spirit, Paul says. The down payment of the Spirit is what he told these Corinthians they have. And then get ready, because here's one of the most misquoted verses, if not the most misquoted verse in Scripture, would be verse 8. But the two verses leading up to it makes it pretty clear. Paul says, therefore, or based on everything I just told you, he said, therefore, we are always confident, knowing that whilst we're at home in the body or in this body, we are absent from the Lord. Because he's already said, you've got a body you've grown in, and there is another body that's prepared, kept in the heavens. He said, we're confident knowing that while we're here, we're not there, is basically what he's saying, isn't it? We're always confident knowing that whilst we're at home in the body, this body, that we're absent from the Lord. He said, for we walk by faith and not sight. That's why we're confident.
Because we don't see him. I mean, we
believe him through the...
We're born out of new seed.
Exactly. We believe him through his written word. I've never seen the Lord Jesus Christ face to face. But I believe that he lives as much as I believe my wife or my dad lived. And that's what faith is. For we walk by faith, he says, and not sight. And then the killer is verse 8. Here is the most misquoted verse in Scripture, folks. I don't know if you've ever thought about it or not. He says, we are confident, I say. And here's the key. And willing rather. Willing rather. Hey, I'm willing rather to be absent from this body and to be present with the Lord. But that doesn't, there's nothing in that verse that says that the very split second that one happens, the other happens. You have to add the time frame, the time factor to it as an addition, because it's just not there in the text. He says, we are confident, I say, and willing rather to be absent from the body and to be present with the Lord. And so am I. So he says, wherefore we labor, that whether present or absent, he said, we're still working, that whether we're here or whether we're there, we may be accepted of him. That's the point. So in the previous dispensation, Paul revealed a lot about bodies. Not so much in the post-Acts epistles, at least that I can find. But I did want to make that difference there between the two, because that, if you look at this revelation here that he makes in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, that's a lot concerning what your body, what your body is going to be like, when you're going to, you know, there's no factor of time there, but he basically says you're going to be present with the Lord at some point, and you'll have that new body when you're present there with him. Now, we're going to be translated into the kingdom of his dear son of the saints within the light. And that's about as close as I can find to what our possibly our bodies there could be. But again, if I had to take you to scripture and verse and tell you right here it is, I can't do it. So I've got a lot of other points that I want to make, but I did want to get those four in today, the things that we don't know. And we'll finish this one up. We'll finish this whole study series up Sunday, and we'll go over some of these other scriptures concerning what we've read today. And we'll stop here for today. Hopefully you were blessed by what you heard. Hopefully it made you think. I'm not trolling for agreement or disagreement. My whole point bringing my studies is try to make you look. Whether we agree or disagree is neither here nor there to me. If we end up agreeing, I hope it is because you have studied it out and checked it out for yourself, and not just because I said it, because that would be the last reason that I would ever want anybody to agree with me, is because I said it. We must study to show ourselves approved unto God, workmen that need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing his word of truth. And that's my prayer.